Good morning, everyone. It's about 9:20-ish, so we need to start our hymn sing. It's good to see you all here. Do we have somebody who already has a selection picked? Thank you, Dina. She preceded it to say, I'm going to see if you know this one. So, yes, we do. I think we do. Number 404, Every Time I Feel the Spirit. And we'll do both verses. Number 404. That's a wonderful song, but it's kind of a tough one to warm up on. But it got us awake, yeah? It got us awake and ready to sing praises and feel God's Spirit. So what's our next selection? Yes?
You know, let's play or sing this one, 585 from our Sunday school days.
585. Okay, so you want to do the first and... It's a short song, all three. It is a little different melody. Yeah, go ahead and play it through. A different melody than the one we're used to. Let's just go ahead and sing verse. Let's just do the verse because the words are familiar, right? Do you know the other one? You want to try that one? Okay, Colleen's playing the one we remember, so we'll sing that first verse to the, not the notes on the page, the notes that we know. All right, here we go. Okay, I think we have three different versions going.
Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Okay, yeah, I do. Yeah. Okay, you want to try it? I don't know. I don't know.
This light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Okay, and next. What's the next one? I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Thanks. That was a nice change. Good remembered. Yes. All right. Thank you. Next one. Anybody have a favorite picked out? I'm hearing 369. 369. Blessed assurance. Blessed assurance. Verses 1 and 2. Thank you. 369. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us for Hymn Sing. We will now continue with our worship service. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the United Methodist Church, the House of Faith. So glad you're all here. I'm going to do a small weather report. I shared with Pastor that I got an invite to go visit my daughter at a -7 degrees, and I said, thank you very much. For those of you that are cold weather people, I love it when I ski, but I can't imagine having to go out and function at a -7 degrees, and I'm sure that's very warm for much of the country. So welcome. I'm glad you're here. It's not that cold. The church and the sanctuary is lovely and warm, so welcome to all of you today for joining us. There are red pew pads at the end of each pew. If you would please make sure that you sign in for your attendance today, we'd appreciate that. Lots of January birthdays, and so we wish everyone that is listed here to have a wonderful month and a tremendous year ahead. New directories are coming. Make sure that the office has your correct address, phone, and email. And if you're like me, I got rid of my landline, so I need to remember to call Lauren and let her know that my landline is no longer mine. Forms are available in the narthex, or you can submit the information directly to Lauren in the office, but you want to do that. January newsletter, I didn't find it in the narthex, so if you would please contact Lauren in the office, you can either come by, you can read it online if you visit our website. I didn't see any copies in the back, so please make sure you either go online or you make sure that you get in touch with Lauren or come by the office. The movies, February 3rd, the next movie will be The Miracle Club. Three women from Ballygar, Ireland, dream of winning a pilgrimage to the sacred French town of Lourdes. So hopefully you can come and join. I understand they are great. Saturday mornings are tough for me, but they always enjoy that. All those that come enjoy their time and the movies. Deb does a good job of selecting those. Okay. Pastor's Luncheon will take place on February 14th. Cost is $15. There is a sign-up sheet in the back, but I believe it will be going over to the fellowship hall so that when you join us for coffee and fellowship, it will be there so you can sign up as well. So it'll be at the script table. We are the cereal church. Donate a few boxes of cereal, other canned goods, etc. Those items will be taken to ICSC to be distributed to families in need. And I will give a personal plug at this point. I spend a lot of my life at Family Assistance here in Yucaipa, and we're always looking for donations, whether it is clothing or food items, serving the community here. So we appreciate anything you might want to bring to us. We're located over on Avenue B. Steve Mickel is looking for gently used adult clothing for inmates that are being released from prison, mostly male clothing. But I understand, I was listening to Steve the last time he was liturgist, that they will take some female things. They need to be appropriate clothing so that obviously no dress suits. Swimsuits, tank tops, those kinds of things are not appropriate for them. If you leave them in the narthex, Steve will pick them up. Hearts Grow, every Sunday, second and fourth Sunday, children can come before the sermon and stay until the end of fellowship. Parents are welcome to visit with them. It's a fun Christian growth and worship experience for all ages, using the arts to help us connect to the Creator. And it's in the children's church room. Okay. All right. Okay, I'm needing to make sure there wasn't one more slide before I do this. The next Parents' Night Out is Friday, January 26th. It's here from 6 p.m. to 8:30. So if you know a family that maybe mom and dad could use a few hours away from their children, please pick up one of the flyers in the back. We see Deb does a beautiful job of taking photographs of the activities, and it looks like they're having a lot of fun. So if you know someone or grandchildren that are visiting Grandma and Grandpa, this would be an evening of fun activities for them. So we encourage you to invite a friend. This is Friday, January 26th, and again, there are flyers in the back if you are interested. And now if you'll join me, stand as you are able for the call to worship. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. And if you would please stand, remain standing for our first hymn, To God Be the Glory, number 98. The time before you sit down to pass the peace and greetings to all that are here.
Let's see who we have on Zoom. Let us greet them. Hello, Helen. So good to see you. You still look great, Helen. Wonderful. And happy to see June and Joyce. And hello to George. And we have David with us, Alicia, and the one on phone line. So we welcome them all.
Okay. And now's the time for sharing your joys and concerns. Deb will be bringing the mic up front. So if you have a joy, if you'd raise your hand, or a concern, okay.
First off, we want to thank everybody in this congregation for all the wonderful prayers that have been offered up for Lorene and her eye surgery. It's been an up and down week for us. The week before, we were all really ecstatic because we got all the testing done here in Redlands that we needed to do. And we have had wonderful dealings with our insurance. They've approved everything. UCLA has got everything set up. We, our medical services here is through, it used to be Beaver Clinic, now it's Optum. For some reason, they can't get it right as far as getting the authorization papers in. So we've been getting calls from UCLA, hey, you got to get on this, we got to get this going because we have to have certain tests done just before, about a week before the surgery. Her surgery is originally scheduled for a week from tomorrow. I don't see any way we're going to get the testing done in time for that. It's going to have to be pushed back. So trying to deal with anybody on the phone anymore is almost impossible. So I told her, what was it, Wednesday or Thursday? Wednesday. I says, we're going down there. We're going to talk to somebody face to face. So we went down to the main office there on Fern and Cajon. Well, the person was out to lunch, and then they found out when we finally got somebody there, I said, well, you have to go to the one on Oasis. That's where the eye stuff is. So we went over there, and that person was out to lunch. So then we finally got in, and her daughter came along, and her daughter is a pretty good-sized woman, and there was only room for two other spare people in the office, and I says, you take Amanda in with you. I'm afraid if I go in there, they'll be calling security, and I'll be thrown out or put in jail. So anyway, they went in and talked, and of course, the person said, well, you have an HMO, and I only take care of PPOs. But, you know, kind of like out of the goodness of my heart, I'll go ahead and process this for you. Well, okay. So anyway, they even called UCLA and said the paperwork would be faxed to them and all that. So we're all happy. Well, we finally got this all straightened out. The next morning, we get a call from UCLA. The paperwork was all made out wrong. They just can't seem to get it right. So yesterday, I got another uplift. Got stuff in the mail from Optum, I still call it Beaver Clinic, and it showed all the paperwork that has now been sent, and it looks to me from what UCLA said that it might be correct. We don't know yet because it's a three-day weekend and we can't talk to anybody until Tuesday, but we're not giving up hope, and I don't want you to stop with your prayers, because this is going to happen when the Lord says it's the proper time.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. It'll all work out.
This is probably the time our prayers are needed more than anything.
Yes.
I wanted to let you know, too, that Kenny Lingle wasn't feeling well today, so he's not here, but keep him in your prayers.
And continue to pray for his son and his son's family.
His son-in-law, and they lost Zelda Faye, so right. Pray for them.
We have some friends come here occasionally, Debbie and Walker, and they have tested positive for COVID, so prayers for Debbie and Walker.
And continue to pray for Claudia and her husband, and they are still dealing with COVID. That's why she's not here today.
Hi, you all know Becky King, I think. She called Trudy and I the other day. She has come down with COVID. She was feeling fine Wednesday when we had the luncheon. And then that evening, she just had the sniffles. She did test and she was positive for COVID. So she's trying to let everybody know who was there. But she was supposed to go to Costa Rica very soon, so I don't know how that affects her trip. Mm. But keep Becky in your prayers.
I just, being an observant person here today, I noticed during passing the peace, two young ladies just came to visit us in the back, and I didn't catch their name, so shame on me. But I would like to say thank you for coming, and we enjoy seeing you.
Would you mind introducing yourself kindly, ladies?
Hi, I'm Christina, and this is my sister, Katie. We've lived here in Ukiah for like 10 years, and we just going around and checking out other churches. So thank you so much for the warm greeting, and so nice to meet you all.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Come over for coffee afterwards.
Good morning, I'm Dave Moore. I want to give thanksgiving for the healing that is happening for my son-in-law, Mark Zhao. Karen's husband, he's been in the hospital with pneumonia. They've removed the tube. He's home now. He's getting better. Praise God. Also would like to ask for continued prayers for my daughter, Rachel. Thank you.
Amen.
Yes, I would like to give an update on my sister's husband, Cliff, who we prayed for, I think, a week ago. And we thought he was getting better, but the last few days, probably 3 or 4 days now, they said he's not getting better and that his body is not responding to treatment. And they don't know, you know, when or if he's going to make it or not. And, of course, only God can change that. And my sister, of course, is pretty distraught about it, and just wanted to ask the church to pray for my sister, Kara, and his name is Cliff, Clifford, and they have 3 boys back in Missouri. Thank you.
And before we go to our Zoom folks, I'd like to ask for prayers. Crafton Hills, where I work, school starts on Tuesday, so if you can keep everyone in your prayers that we have a good start to the beginning of the new semester.
Is there anyone on Zoom? Please raise your hand.
We now see Bill and April with us via Zoom. So welcome, welcome.
Okay, if there are no more prayers, if you would please join me in the unison prayers printed in the bulletin or on the screens. Lord, in every need, let me come to you with humble trust, saying, Jesus, help me. In all my doubts, perplexities, and temptations, Jesus, help me. In hours of loneliness, weariness, and trials, Jesus, help me. In the failure of my plans and hopes, in disappointments, troubles, and sorrows, Jesus, help me. When others fail me and your grace alone can assist me, Jesus, help me. When I throw myself on your tender love as a father and savior, Jesus, help me. When my heart is cast down by failure at seeing no good come from my efforts, Jesus, help me. When I feel impatient and my cross irritates me, Jesus, help me. When I am ill and my head and hands cannot work and I am lonely, Jesus, help me. Always, always, in spite of weakness, falls, and shortcomings of every kind, Jesus, help me and never forsake me. Amen.
Let us continue our prayers in silence. We have many names that have been brought to us, and let us hold them in our hearts and in our prayers. And also let us lift up our hearts unto the Lord as we lift up our unspoken prayers for ourselves, for our loved ones, for so many that God has placed in our hearts and in our lives. Let us continue our prayers in silence. Dear Lord Jesus, we stand before you in need of prayers. Prayers for so many things. But also we stand before your presence with confidence and assurance that you are our good shepherd. You have led us safely unto this day, and you will lead into this unknown year by holding our hand. You will take us to places where you have planned for us that fits us the most and perfectly, so that we may please you, we may fulfill your will and your purpose in our life, that we may continue to glorify you in all we do. As we stand before you, O Lord, we see how fragile we are. We see our weaknesses, we see our frailty, we see our flaws. That's why we need you, O Lord. We need you every moment of our life, that we can draw strength and courage from you, that we may fight on, that we may continue on. There are many obstacles before us which we cannot handle by ourselves, but we believe that everything is possible with you. So we come to you, O Lord, and ask you to surround us with your power and touch us with your Holy Spirit. And with your Holy Spirit, O Lord, we know that you can heal us. You can reach deep within and drive out troubles, the depressive spirit out of our hearts and out of our lives. So we ask you to come into us with your Holy Spirit and manifest your power and your presence once more that we may receive this blessing of your presence, your blessings of your power in our life today. So we bring all our cares and our concerns and leave them into your hand, O Lord. Take these burdens off of our shoulders and liberate us from whatever the trouble we have, the worries, anxieties, and cause of depressions, that we may restore the joy of living once more. We submit ourselves into your care, into your power, and we pray, O Lord, that you fulfill your will by using us, by using our gifts, our talents, because we are here to commit ourselves to fulfill your will in our lives, in this church, in this community, and in this world today. So now, as one community of faith, we commit ourselves to you and to your service by praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And now is the time for Young at Heart with Deb Davidson.
Today's story is The Most Perfect Snowman, written by Chris Britt. Drift was the loneliest of snowmen. Built from the first blustery snow of winter, he'd been built fast and then forgotten. With only two skinny stick arms and a small mouth and eyes made of coal, Drift dreamed of wearing a stylish hat, scarf, and mittens just like the other snowmen. Most of all, he dreamed of having a pointy orange carrot nose. If only I had that, I'd be perfect, he thought. All the other snowmen were much fancier than Drift and would giggle at him with frosty glee. Nice nose. Love your style. Snazzy outfit. Dressed in their finery, they would have snowy fashion parades. Snowball fights. And snowman dances that lasted all night. But Drift was never included. So he spent his days alone, swishing and sliding through the wintry woods, often stopping in the shadows to watch the others laugh and play. One morning, three bundled-up children walked by. "What a plain-looking snowman," said one little girl. "You need a hat. Here, take mine." The hat was blue, fluffy, and toasty warm. It fit perfectly. "And you can have my mittens," said the little boy. They were so snuggly. Drift raised his arms in the air and smiled. The last little girl turned to Drift. "Why don't you take my scarf?" It felt soft and cozy as she placed it around his neck. She looked at him for a moment. "You're still missing something." Then, reaching into her coat pocket, she pulled out the most pointy orange carrot nose that Drift had ever seen. She squashed it into place. "Now you're the perfect snowman." The other snowmen watched in astonishment. All afternoon, Drift played with the children. He had never been so happy. But soon, dark clouds rolled in, and his new friends turned to walk back home. Drift thanked them and waved goodbye. That night, a terrible blizzard began to blow. Icy snowflakes ripped at Drift's new hat and mittens and tossed them into the air. "Oh, no," Drift gasped. He set out to search for his missing clothes. He looked up into the trees and down in a stream, over hills and under bushes, but they were gone. "Oh, well," Drift sighed, "at least I still have my beautiful new scarf and nose." Then, through the howling wind, Drift heard a whisper, soft voice, "I'm lost. Can you help me, please?" It was a tiny bunny. It looked frightened and shivery cold. The bunny needed a safe place to survive the night, but there was no shelter to be found. Drift took off his scarf and wrapped it gently around the bunny. "There, now you'll stay warm." That's when he heard a faint growl. It was the bunny's tummy. Rumble. Drift stared into the frosty night. He knew what he had to do. He reached up, removed his last remaining gift, and gave his new friend something to eat, and became the most perfect snowman of all. The end. May we realize that it's not the outside, how we're dressed and how we look, that make us good, but the giving and the generosity of our hearts. May we be as generous to others as God was to us. Amen.
Thank you, Deb. Our next hymn is "Great is Thy Faithfulness," number 140, verses 1 through 3.
With 10,000 beside.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
The scripture reading today comes from the book of Acts. This is Paul who defends himself before Agrippa, and it is chapter 26, verse 4 through 17. All the Jews know my way of life from my youth, a life spent from the beginning among my own people and in Jerusalem. They have known for a long time, if they are willing to testify, that I have belonged to the strictest sect of our religion and lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand here on trial on account of my hope in the promise made by God to our ancestors, a promise that our 12 tribes hope to attain as they earnestly worship day and night. It is for this hope, Your Excellency, that I am accused by Jews. Why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? Indeed, I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things against the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and that is what I did in Jerusalem. With authority received from the high priest, I not only locked up many of the saints in prison, but I also cast my vote against them when they were being condemned to death. By punishing them often in all the synagogues, I tried to force them to blasphemy. And since I was so furiously enraged at them, I pursued them even to foreign cities. Paul tells of his conversion. With this in mind, I was traveling to Damascus with the authority and commission of the high priest. When at midday along the road, Your Excellency, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and my companions. When we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It hurts you to kick against the goads. I said, Who are you, Lord? The Lord answered, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you to serve and testify to the things in which you have seen me and to those have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you. I will rescue you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks
be to God.
Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all in here. And I pray that each of us will have a visit from the Holy Spirit this morning, that we may hear the voice of God speaking to us, to our hearts, that we all need. This is an amusing story, but it's said to be a true story. A pastor had a kitten that climbed up a tree in his backyard and then was afraid to come down. The pastor coaxed, offered warm milk, etc. The kitten would not come down. The tree was not sturdy enough to climb. So the pastor decided that if he tied a rope to his car and drove away so that the tree bent down, he could then reach up and get the kitten. He did, all the while checking his progress in the car frequently, then figured if he went just a little bit further, the tree would be bent sufficiently for him to reach the kitten. But as he moved a little further forward, the rope broke. The tree went boing, and the kitten instantly sailed through the air out of sight. The pastor felt terrible. He walked all over the neighborhood asking people if they seen a little kitten. No, nobody has seen a stray kitten. So he prayed, "Lord, I commit this kitten to your keeping," and went on about his business. A few days later, he was at the grocery store and met one of his church members. She was known to be a cat hater, but amazingly had cat food in her shopping cart. So he asked her, "Why are you buying cat food?" She replied, "My little girl has been begging me for a cat, but I kept refusing. Then a few days before, my daughter had begged again, so I finally told her, 'Well, if God gives you a cat, I'll let you keep it.' I watched my child go out in the yard, get on her knees, and ask God for a cat. And really, Pastor, you won't believe this, but I saw it with my own eyes. A kitten suddenly came flying out of the blue sky with its paws outspread and landed right in front of her." The pastor accidentally lost his cat, but it was not an accident in God's eyes. It happened at a perfect timing and a perfect place for the little girl to receive an answer to her prayer. We call this God's orchestration. God is sovereign and has everything under his control. However, we wonder about God's power when we face challenging and changing times. The world is in turmoil, which shifts the geopolitical and economic map, not only in one sector, but everywhere. Where is God in these rather rapid, unwanted changes? If God got the whole world in his hand, what good would all these turbulences bring about? Let's look at the situations in China and in Russia. Russia's invasion of Ukraine has continued for 2 years. Putin, out of miscalculation and misinformation, started the unnecessary war. His evil motive was camouflaged by the deceitful propaganda that falsely claimed that Russia needed to save Ukraine from Nazification. The majority in Russia still supports the war because the mass media, controlled by the government, has influenced public opinion. There is more. The blinded public has much to do with the short history of democracy in Russia. The democratic system was only introduced when the Soviet Union collapsed in December of 1991. The shallow root of democracy gave Putin an edge for his dictator-like leadership because people were not quite familiar with how the government should operate. The world has suffered enough out of the horror of war, but there is no sign of peace yet. But I like to believe that there may be one thing good out of the war, at least. That is, people are more exposed to the dark side of Putin's leadership through the invasion and would not tolerate him at some point. A recent poll seems to show a slow but gradual shift in public opinion on the war. My personal speculation and wish is that Putin's regime would collapse soon so that Russia would not be a threat to world peace anymore. President Xi of China openly said that China would invade Taiwan. The invasion would sacrifice many innocent lives, both in China and Taiwan. China appears to be a superpower on the world stage, but faces a multitude of domestic problems. Have you heard of the crisis in the Chinese housing market? Experts estimate between 65 and 80 million new apartment units are vacant. They are new buildings. China's current population is 1.4 billion. Those vacant apartments are enough for 3 billion people. Housing was a major source of their economy, but not anymore. Also, China heavily depends on exports, which have been decreasing significantly. Foreign companies in China are relocating to India, Vietnam, and other countries that are more profitable. And foreign investors are leaving China as well. My personal perspective is that communist China would continue to deteriorate and is likely follow in the footsteps of the former Soviet Union and become a democratic country, maybe within a couple of decades. Russia's invasion of Ukraine and China's threat to Taiwan is surely traveling, but some changes within Russia and China are being developed. The changes can be an indication that they are in transition to progress in their political system. Ultimately speaking, we believe the sovereign God holds the fate of nations. God is behind the changes in those countries. God can end the war in Ukraine, protect Taiwan, and bring peace to those regions. Speaking of transition, Paul was facing a life-altering transition when he spoke to the Roman governor Festus and King Agrippa. Festus had already heard from Paul, and he did not find anything wrong. King Agrippa heard Paul as well and agreed with Festus. Since there were no established charges against Paul, Festus could have released Paul, but Paul did not cancel his appeal to Caesar. Paul's reason to appeal to Caesar can be found in his defense speech. We read part of Paul's defense speech. Paul passionately followed the old way and persecuted Christians. It was unthinkable for such an anti-Christian to become an advocate of Christianity, but it was God's will. Despite Paul's being a hater of the Christian faith, God had a plan for him, and God's plan was to change Paul. On the way to Damascus, Jesus appeared and told Paul, "You are persecuting me. Your persecution hurts you to kick against goad." Goad was a spiked stick to drive cattle in the ancient times. At the moment of Paul's conversion, Jesus revealed to him that by running his life his way, he was poking himself, causing pain. Paul stopped going against God's will from then on. Paul underwent many major transitions beginning from his conversion. Standing in the court of the Roman governor was one of those transitions. According to Festus and King Agrippa, Paul had a choice over that particular transition. He could choose to appeal to Caesar or not to appeal to Caesar and be released. Paul didn't fear, and was not swayed by anything, even death. Roman Caesar at the time of Paul's arrest was Nero. Paul might not have known how crazy Nero was, but would have sensed appealing to Caesar meant his martyrdom. The traditional date of Paul's arrival at Rome was 61 AD. The fire of Rome, blaming Christians for the fire, and the first great persecution against Christians occurred in 64. The anti-Christian atmosphere, after he arrived, Rome guaranteed his execution. And Paul suffered martyrdom in Rome in 67. Paul's speech and attitude before Festus and King Agrippa reflects his acknowledgement that sovereign God mapped out his life and he willingly yielded himself to God's plan. If we look at our life altogether, we see life as a continuation of transitions. We often experience major ones, like Paul went through, like some countries, or many countries, are going through. And when we experience those major ones, we experience a lot of anxiety and worries. But think about how Paul handled his transition. For us believers, transition does not mean any change in God's plan and God's love for us. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever our lot is, God is still in full control over our life's path. Therefore, it is well with my soul, whatever changes I face. In Knowledge of the Holy, A.W. Tozer attempts to reconcile seemingly contradictory beliefs of God's sovereignty and man's freedom, man's free will, and changes in life. And it says, an ocean liner leaves New York bound for Liverpool. Its destination has been determined by proper authorities. Nothing can change it. This is at least a faint picture of sovereignty. On board the liner are scores of passengers. These are not in chains, neither are their activities determined for them by decrees. They are completely free to move about as they will. They eat, sleep, play, lounge about on the deck, read, talk, all together as they please. But all the while, the great liner is carrying them steadily onward toward a predetermined port. In addition to many variables created by the free will of passengers, they also experience a lot of transition on board. It may rain or snow. There may be storms on the way, and they may get seasick. But the liner does not alter its set course and will eventually arrive at its destination. This is how the sovereign mighty of God works in our lives. The mighty liner of God's sovereign design keeps its steady course over the sea of history. Look very closely at many watershed moments we have had. There were some moments that turned out the way we wanted. Do you know why? Because they were in agreement with God's design. How about some other moments that did not run our way? Because God had different plans. This world and our personal lives are always in transition, and we will experience some watershed moment during 2024. But we should not fear, because God is sovereign. The history of the world is His story. God holds a pen to dictate our story, and our life becomes God's story. Amen.
This is the time for presentations of our tithes and offerings. We'll enjoy some beautiful music from Young Hair, but there is a plate at the back to put your offering, or please drop it by the church office. Thank you.
I hope this song is your prayer too.
Sweet to walk with Jesus, what a cheerfulness it is. We know the way He takes, we are, we tread on the heels of Him. Step by step, step by step, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Day by day, we will walk with Jesus. We are so poor, we are so weak, we are as like as children. But His powerful hand led us to the path of life in safety. Step by step, step by step, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Day by day, we will walk with Jesus. Jesus, keep me closer, closer, step by step and day by day, stepping in Thy very footprints, walking with Thee o'er the way. Step by step, step by step, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Day by day, we will walk with Jesus.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures ye below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of lives. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Dear Lord, with this gift, we recognize countless blessings that you have bestowed upon us. With this offering, we believe that you will continue to lead us on into the places where we can be your blessing to your people, and you can continue to nourish us and strengthen us. So we give you this offering as the token of our acknowledgement of your presence in our lives and our commitment to you and to your service. We ask you to receive it, bless it, that it may be used to build your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our final hymn today is "He, Because He Lives," number 364, verses 1 through 3.
Because he lives.
I can face tomorrow, because he leads. All fear is gone, because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Amen. Let us pray as we leave this sanctuary, O Lord. We recognize your presence, your living presence in our lives, and we recognize that you hold our future. So there's nothing to fear, there's nothing to worry about. We can just go on believing in your presence and in your loving care. Therefore, Lord Jesus, give us this assurance of your presence. May we hold on to it, that we may continue to live in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Afraid, God will go with you each hour, every day. Oh, now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true, though he